Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Playoff expansion is here. And there's one phrase that was chosen very carefully. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. On a Friday, and there is a meeting coming up in Chicago next week, and muckety's in the world of college football will talk and vote, and then what they will do is approve, I believe, a 12-team playoff field. I want to go back in time. 1986, I believe. Y'all, any conscious thought of the movie Legal Eagles? Legal Eagles. Robert Redford played an attorney. Daryl Hannah was on trial for something. And she was pretty much, everybody understood she was guilty. So his opening salvo in court as the attorney was, who thinks she's guilty? Go ahead, raise your hand right now. Let's skip the trial. Who thinks she's guilty? He convinced everybody to raise his hand. He's like, I think she's guilty, and I'm her attorney. He's like, well, why not just skip the trial and just send her straight? No, because you have to do this before you announce the eventual outcome that everybody, so you got to have the trial, then we'll convict her. Well, it's the same thing here. There is going to be discussion among more than just four people. In fact, there's another, I think, seven folks that will meet and they'll all decide. But next week in Chicago, there's going to be a meeting, and there you go. You get a 12-team playoff field. The phrase that was chosen very carefully, increased participation. Because whether it was Bob Bowlesby, and he had a lot to say, he was happy. Whether it was folks like, we had Heather Denich on yesterday. She covers the playoffs as well as anybody. Her and Nicole Auerbach does a great job. She's athletic, is that right? Yeah, athletic. So a lot of folks out there working real hard, elbow grease. But we had Heather on yesterday, and I was reading her article today. Four times in there, either directly increased participation or a word that means increased participation. It will be a 12-team field. It appears it will be the sixth highest-ranked conference champions, wherever they fall, and six highest-ranked other teams. And yes, there will be increased participation because 12 is more than four. There will not be an increased chance to win the national championship, and we've already talked about this. Bowlesby, Sankey, Craig Thompson, Heather Denich, everybody. We will provide opportunity to a larger field and increase participation. You'll increase participation and make it even less likely that the teams who don't have an opportunity now, make it even less likely for Cincinnati, Tulane, BYU, etc. to win. We've talked about it. You add an extra round to the playoffs, not to the four teams who can actually win. Dan, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, give me a fourth participant in a random year of playoffs. I don't care who.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Bama, and Clemson. They're your four playoff teams. If you are Cincinnati, if you are Middle Tennessee, they go 12-0. If you're Memphis in a particular year, if you're Southern Methodist and the Ponies put it all together, in a four-team playoff, if somehow you busted the bracket and got that four seed, I can't believe I'm saying this, you only have to beat Ohio State and Bama. In this scenario, you might have to beat Washington while Bama sits at home eating popcorn and ice cream sandwiches, and then you play Bama. It makes it even
less of a chance for these teams. Now, the justification is, as such, money. Well, that's a big one. And believe it or not, this is why 12 instead of 8, for instance, because it's easier to tell the 13th team tough taters than the 9th team. Because the 9th team who gets left out, they may actually be 10-2 or 11-1. 13th team, oh, they're clearly going to have 3 losses. And you wouldn't have a 3 or 4 loss team going, oh, no, it's like a wedding reception. Everybody thinks there's always room for one more. Well, the team at 13 with 4 losses, I don't even know if that team can muster the gumption to say, if you would have just let us in, we could have gone on a run. Bowlesby did add one more justification, though. And this is a quote. It's embarrassing being a Power 5 conference and being left out of a 14 playoff. Here is the potential upside. Scooching Notre Dame towards permanent conference affiliation. I don't know if y'all have read at least the alleged fine details, but Notre Dame is not eligible to the top 4 teams would receive a bye while 5 through 12 play. Notre Dame's not eligible to be a top 4 seed or receive a bye because you have to be a conference champion. Now, under this proposal. So I think it could scooch the Irish closer towards permanent conference affiliation, but you've already heard from Swarbrick say, I look forward to never being asked about the advantage of being Notre Dame again. Also, there are no guaranteed bids for any conference, Power 5 or other, and no cap on the number of bids to a conference. So the Big Ten could have 5 teams go 1 year as such. All right, we are going to take a break and come back and talk to one of the movers and shakers. We had Dennis Dodd next, right? Dennis Dodd coming on right here from CBS Sports.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks. Been doing it since the beginning of the 2014 season. Appreciate everybody putting that blessing in my life. Want to reach out now to a man who covers college football and the playoffs about as good as anybody you're going to find from CBSSports.com. It is Dennis Dodd. Dennis Dodd, how are you today?
Hey, Chuck, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I didn't want any expansion, but I knew it was coming, so I was clinging to 6 or 8, but oh, how foolish. For the purpose of the next, like, 7 or 8 minutes, we're going to talk as if the 12-team proposal that everyone can go anywhere on the internet and find, that's what's going to happen. Tell me why this was arrived at, in addition to money, but why this was arrived at versus 8, 10, 16, or any other combination.
Well, it was the access. I think just operating from the viewpoint of the SEC, if you're going to go to 8, you know, you kind of know you're guaranteed at least 2 every year, 2 teams in. Why not shoot the whole wad for as many as you can and get 12? And I think where I saw in the history of the playoff, the last 7 years, the SEC would have averaged close to 3. In other words, they had 19 teams in, would have had 19 teams in a 12-team bracket over 7 years. That's almost 3. And so it's limitless now. I mean, think 3 or 4 the way they are now. So I think that had something to do with it. I think access had something to do with it. Now the group of 5 is on really even footing in terms of access with everybody else. And then, you know, interest in the regular season. I think this will spur more interest in the regular season rather than take it away.
I saw a phrase that was used quite a bit, whether direct quotes from Bob Bowlesby or just summaries from men and women who were covering the story, and it was increased participation, increased participation. Is that really an increased opportunity to win a national championship? Because I've said that you throw a third game onto a Cincinnati, Tulane, Middle Tennessee State, and it makes it even less likely than if they somehow got into a 14 field.
Yeah, no, participation doesn't equal winning national championships. I think, but that's the first, I guess, hurdle to get over. I think there'll be a lot of happiness and giddiness for the group of five just basically getting in. Simple math and chaos theory will tell you that eventually one of those teams will break through. It may take years, but and maybe win this thing. And it gives that angle to college football that it never had and never embraced, frankly, and that's the Cinderella factor, the thing that makes the NCAA tournament so attractive. For whatever reason, the big boys didn't want it. They didn't let smaller schools in, and now you at least have the optics of a Cinderella. And if they make a run, then you have the reality of one. So I think that had a lot to do with it as well as legal concerns. They were getting to the point where there was going to be a lawsuit from the group of five if they didn't get realistic access. And now they have it.
How much of a likelihood, because the first thing I jumped at when I saw the details was, well, this will kind of scooch Notre Dame along towards permanent conference affiliation. But then I saw Jack Swarbrick. He says, all right, so nobody stop, you know, keep asking me about this advantage for being Notre Dame. We don't have one. Y'all see it? How do you see that going?
Yeah, that was my question when I asked him about that.
Oh, good question.
They are spinning it in that, number one, it's more access for Notre Dame. Top 12, yeah, great. You know, they're going to have a much better chance of getting in, better than they had. The other part of that is, yes, they don't play a conference championship game. So even though whenever they get in the playoff, they're going to have to play that first-round play-in game, either at home or on the road. They're going to have that an extra week off because they don't play a conference championship game. I don't know if I buy that. I'm more towards you. We're like, yeah, this might force them to ACC membership because the last time they won a championship, Bill, you know this, they won 12 games. At Notre Dame, sooner or later, the bar is going to be set really high. And to get past that bar, they're going to have to win four games and play 16 games to get to where their destiny
yep.
is. So just getting to the playoff for them is going to get real old real quick. And there's going to be a situation if they're ranked, let's say they're ranked number one, and they're 12-0. It's happened two of the last 3 years they've been undefeated. And they've beaten two conference champions that have byes in the top four, and they can only be a fifth seed. That's going to be an issue.
What is the baked-in gripe for folks who wanted more than 12? Because, you know, I've always thought, like, the whatever, the 65th team and then the 69th team in March Madness, I'm like, hush up, you got 11 losses. And so I know right at, you know, the starkness of the 13th team has four losses or three at the, you know, at the least. But there is a group that is going to beat their shoe on the table and wanted more than 12. What is their gripe?
I haven't heard that gripe yet. And I thought I would. I had, since the announcement yesterday, I haven't heard this. Well, why not 16? I heard the discussion of it before that. But the 16, you know, the people that were waiting to play for 16 teams, I think the more the merrier. You know that. But this basically gets everybody in who deserves to be in. And that's the case, that's the point I had with the existing 14 model. I think everybody who deserved to play for it got in now in these last 7 years. Now, you can make an argument about the group of five teams. UCF in 18 and Cincinnati last year had the highest finish of any group of five team, number eight. Okay, I'll listen to that. But other than that, you know, that first year, Ohio State got in at number four over the Big 12 champs, and they won the whole thing, so they validated it. So I think this even goes further in terms of credibility. Everybody who has a claim to the throne is going to get in.
final group involved, because, I mean, media, coaches, ADs, all that, is the labor. And if it's the former quarterback at Northwestern or that former UCLA player that wants to unionize the Pac-12, the coming headline is going to be playoff expands. The subheadline is going to be how many millions and billions is involved. Just give me your take on how this will result in more from the suddenly empowered college football player.
Well, there's a couple of angles on that. Yeah, the money is going to it averages out to $600 million a year right now. I'm told by industry sources that that's at least going to double with 12 teams. So let's say a billion. 78% of that in the current structure goes to the Power Five. So that's $780 million, basically divided by 65 teams. So less expenses. So there's going to be a lot more money in the system, and what you're going to ask in return is for four teams to play 16 games and two teams to play as many as 17. That's an NFL schedule. That has to be addressed. I think in one term, NIL will address it on its own. I mean, can you imagine the endorsements that are going to be ready for the top four quarterbacks in the playoff in a 12-team structure? They could have them on a one commercial selling Coke. You know, who's to say a big company couldn't pay every player on every roster a playoff bonus? I mean, that would be allowed. The other part of that is player safety, and that's going to have to be addressed as well. I'm surprised no one's brought that up much, you know, with head trauma and all the medical concerns. Finally dug down on it yesterday. I think this is the way it's going to go. There will be enhanced medical protections in that. I think the CFP, and I wrote this yesterday, will probably start or pay into some sort of high-profile medical assistance funds, just for the optics of it. But that's how, in part, it'll be addressed.
Last thing for you, and I've told the story before about how the 87 Fiesta Bowl, that really started us down this roll. You know, Tostitos up some money and NBC, they moved it off January 2nd and happened to be – so you know the story, okay? That's where we are with sponsorships and all that. And I said about 5 years ago, I was like, the national championship game is going to be pushed to February sweeps, even though that doesn't even really exist anymore. Where do you think you see the national championship being pushed to, or does it still stay in that 10, 11, 12 range?
January 10, 11, 12,
yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'll be later than that. I think the quarterfinals are going to be played on January 1st and 2nd. And there's a whole nother discussion out there about the Rose Bowl losing its exclusivity.
Yeah.
That's going to end in some form or fashion. Okay. Then you go, let's say, a week or two after that. Into January. So you're going to be in the second half of January for the first time in college football to play this championship game. But they've got a lot of concerns. They got to get around the NFL. They got to place it so they get the most ratings. They play it on a Monday night now. So that is all undetermined right now. But I would be safe to say it's going to be the second half of January.
My goodness. All right, Dennis, so many moving parts right now. I appreciate you making time coming on, man. Thank you.
All right, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
All right, great. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. And so it continues to get – but you're going to have the Senior Bowl, like, what, the day before the Super Bowl maybe? Or the week after? And so, yeah, you become a two-semester sport at that point, which is fine. You got plenty of two-semester sports. What you don't have is plenty of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids running around playing 14, 15 games as a normal course of action. And I will say, even by pushing the championship game out maybe another week, it's more games in a more condensed time frame, because the 5 through the 12, under one of those proposals, it actually starts in the bowl system, whatever the week, but, you know, bowl week, Capital One bowl week. And so would wrap up on January. And so then you move to the semifinals and the national championship game on the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, et cetera. So just so many moving parts there. But I do appreciate Dennis Dodd making some time coming on today, as this is something everybody's talked about, and it's just about a reality.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
At one point, I owned a 1999 Ford Explorer. And eventually, I put 129,000 miles on it. Now, that's a whole lot of miles, and that is sort of my routine. Been driving since December of 1983, and I got a Ford Thunderbird. Turned 16, Dad said, here's a Thunderbird. I was a good kid. So I got a Ford Thunderbird, and I put 127,000 miles on that. And then I got an IROC Z28 my first senior year of college and put like 140,000 on that. And then I got the Ford Explorer. And on the way to the 127 or 129,000, I went through something called a mass airflow sensor. And it's the only sort of unknown part that I know, because I paid to have it replaced 3 times. And I remember it finally dawned on me when I walked back into the Ford dealership with the exact same problem. And I said, I'm not paying you to diagnose it. I'm going to diagnose it. It's the mass airflow sensor. If you Google your computer right now, Ford Explorer mass airflow sensor, I bet you there'll be, I don't know, like Reddit pages about Ford owners who hate the mass airflow sensor. So I was sitting there in the waiting room waiting for it to be replaced again. And it dawned on me. I was like, how could Ford? They've been making cars 100 years. They can't figure it. Wait a minute. This is not a flaw. It's a feature. This is something that Ford likes. You know, like Goodyear could make tires that would never wear out, folks. Virtually indestructible tires to put on your car. Levi Strauss could make virtually indestructible jeans that were still comfortable. Do you know why they don't? Because then you wouldn't have to buy new tires or jeans. Ford wanted me going back to have to pay to replace the faulty mass airflow sensor. And again, I can learn things. Took me a minute. By the third time, I was sitting in that waiting room going, this isn't a flaw with the Explorer. It's a feature that the engineer pointed out when he was selling it to the design team. Folks, that's what we got with the playoffs. If you think, because I said, what's the baked-in gripe for folks who wanted more than 12 teams? And I didn't know, by the way, I'm going to bring Dan on in just a minute because he had a good one. But I didn't identify one. I identified there's going to be one. In the most effective revamps, the most effective restarts, folks, there's always an included lingering controversy. And it ain't a flaw. It's a feature. It is something that is supposed to be there. When it comes to the playoffs, for instance, we'll use this example since it's front and center. There's always a bug included that's a good thing. It's something that you want in there to keep the conversation going, because if the move to 12 is made, somebody richer, the move to 16, the move to 32, oh my goodness. You move to 16, all these great things will happen. I promise you. it's probably a short list, because there's going to be so much euphoria and happiness over the move. For actually, let me say this: I was suggesting that the consolation prize for me, the hey, I'll take it, was just doubling the field. It's going to be tripled. And there's going to be so much excitement and conversation about what is included. It's going to take maybe, I don't know, a week, maybe a month, maybe actually having a play out one time before you realize, hey, wait a minute, this isn't perfect. Folks, it's not supposed to be. They're supposed to continue the conversation, because if the conversation moved the field to 12, conversation can move the field to 16. And when the field went to 12, what happened? Everybody got a lot more money. When the field moves to 16, to 32, to whatever, everybody going to get more money. So that's what it is. Dan, what's up?
And, you know, the other part of this as well is that you're going to get, which I believe, if I'm looking at the scenarios for this all the right way, that the first round games are going to be on campus games. So that's going to be more money for, say, last year, Georgia being an 8 seed and Cincinnati being a 9. Instead of them going to Atlanta and playing that game in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, yeah, they're playing it at Sanford Stadium. What does that mean? Downtown Athens, bars, restaurants, everything, getting more money their direction. Then it's going to finally get to a scenario where I believe the byes are what, the top four teams, yeah, are moving on to the next round. Yep. And then those are the neutral sites. Chuck, aren't we already noticing, and aren't we already preparing ourselves for Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Ryan Day, any of these coaches saying, hey, you know, that's awesome that we're playing some games on campus, but why do they, who had to play last week, get the reward of having an on-campus game, and we have to get on an airplane and go to Dallas or Miami or out to the Rose Bowl or any of these places? Don't get me wrong, we appreciate these trips and we have a great time when we go out there, but the fine people of Tuscaloosa deserve to have a little bit of extra scratch go in their pocket, because we've got a huge game on campus at Bryant-Denny Stadium. The great people in Ohio get to enjoy it as well, and everybody else in between. Hey, we got rewarded, but yet you're not rewarding us.
Dan. Yes. And that's fine. And I don't even know if that'll be the one, but it could be, and it suffices just as we – very good job. It does a very good job of checking that box, because it is a reasonable viewpoint. Wait a minute, we did more than the 5, 6, 7, and 8 team, and why not let them play in the bowls and then move the second round games to the campuses of 1 through 4? Sure, the argument holds. It won't affect anything, but the argument is reasonable and it holds. And if it comes from Dabo and Ryan Day and Brian Kelly and that ilk, yeah, it'll carry weight. So, absolutely. So I needed something to drop in there, and Dan just pushed that idea out of a helicopter. There it is. Perfect. There are 10 others. And, when you look at the result, ultimately what happened? We got playoffs. Yay! Well, what about 5? Well, that was a pretty good team. But you were just asking me, what about 3? When, you know, like Auburn in 04? And again, I am so staunch about this. I've been transparent, folks. During the two-team playoff era, there is only one example. I've always said, all you got to do is win your games. It is fully within your control to get into the two-team BCS playoff. The only – and I'm actually – I mean, obviously, I wish my school would have had another national championship, but it does serve a purpose. I'm a big fan of what's done is done. So I can't go back and change anything. And so it actually does kind of fit the argument that the only example during the two-team playoff era, 1998 through 13, the only example where a team from a Power Five conference literally did everything it could and didn't get a chance, it was my school. And my response to it was, this is the agreement we've made. It wasn't a screw job. It stunk. It was all, I'm angry. But it wasn't a screw job. It all comes down to it. Eventually, you got to win your games anyway. And so I'm of the standpoint, win them all. Live on that street. But then it expanded to 4. Because what about Auburn? I was like, I am Auburn. And my response is, well, that's the agreement we made. And if it's the only example at that point, I said, it's the only example in 7 years of this. So, yeah, it stung, but the system kind of, if you have one example out of 7 years, it appears it kind of holds. And then it was one example out of eight, then it was one example out of nine, and then it was me telling Georgia fans, no, you lost at home to a 500 South Carolina team. Don't tell me you deserve to play for a national championship. He also got blowed out in Knoxville, I believe, that year, 07. So it held, man. It held every year with the one exception. And if you're 1 for 17, 34, was that how many? If there were 17 years of it or 16 years of it, I guess. And there was one example of it not holding. That was the built-in. What about three? What if you have an undefeated team? Well, you did. And as soon as it went to four, what about five? What if you have an undefeated team? And then the person who was saying that, when somebody said, what if there's an undefeated team at three? They just stared at you like daggers going through you. What if there's an undefeated team at three? And you're like, well, you know, and you didn't have a great answer. Up your schedule. Yeah, that's it. Up your schedule. When it expanded to four, the person that was asking the questions, well, what about an undefeated at five? And there'd be a pause. Nah, probably not going to be. But what if there is? Started kind of volleying his own question back to himself. It's always the next one, folks. I've told you, it's a wedding reception. Always room for one more. So if it's not, you know, and again, the 13th team, that's a weak argument. And so I don't think that's going to hold. But it will be either like Dan's example, that's fine. Wait a minute. We played 13 games, won all of them. And we have to go on the road, but they lost two and they got a home game? What? It's conceivable it'd be 5, 6, 7, and 8 to host the, quote, first round of the tournament. So an 8 seed could have three losses, couldn't it? If it's because it's ranked. It's not in order of record. College Football Playoff Committee rankings. I'm trying to see if that, yeah. So whether it's what Dan came up with, which checks the box, man, or any one of 10 that maybe you've thought of, don't think, oh, man, they just redid all of it and they didn't address this. They weren't supposed to address everything. The most effective restarts always include something to keep the conversation going.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
You're going to have teams that might be conference champions ranked outside the 12, and one of the potential conversation points going forward is that 12th ranked team not being a participant. That seemed really difficult to do at 8.
As SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, you couldn't tell what he was talking about there. It's basically one of the justifications we mentioned earlier, that the ability to look at a ninth-ranked team, and it could be a one-loss team from a Group of Five conference. There's a chance you could have like a 12-0. Like San Jose State. If they were to have like post a 12-0, they ain't getting into the top 8. like Hawaii back in the day in 2007. Go look at the Hawaii schedule. They won them, but it was as bad a schedule as I ever remember really deep diving, because they kept winning, and I was like, all right, well, how real can this be? So he's saying that telling a ninth-ranked team, you're going to get left out, because that could be a really outstanding record in an odd year. He says the 13th team, it's a little different. You're not as likely to have a legitimate team. Like last year, Florida, after losing to Bama, that was their third loss. They were still in the top eight, weren't they? Yeah. So that's Greg Sankey talking about, part of the justification for the 12 scenario apparently being the one that will be forward and discussed and at one point voted on and adopted, and they got plenty of time to do that. But I believe it will be the 21 season and 22 seasons will be played under the current format, and then you will revamp all this. There are 5 years left in the current contracts, the final two of a three-year rotation and then a fresh three-year rotation. They're like, don't worry about that three-year rotation. So, again, that is Greg Sankey. There's one place in the SEC, I got to say, this really good doesn't really get it in this conference, but there's one place in the SEC where really good has become good enough. First team, all SEC running back. And this season, I think it will be like the past several. Five or six or seven or maybe eight really tough, solid, productive future NFL running backs all across the top of the conference leaderboard. Tank Bigsby, I think, is the best running back in the conference. I don't know if he'll be the most productive. He could be, because he's as much of an old school situation. Like Sean Chivers is a good piece of the puzzle there, but he's not a starting piece or, you know, a rely on piece, I don't believe, for a multi-week sort of scenario. Tank Bigsby is. So Tank and Isaiah Spiller and Zamir White and Harris, and there's just really, really good talent around the SEC at running back. Chris Rodriguez, some really tough, solid, productive future NFL running backs. That's what you got there. There is no Darren McFadden. And I know the college football royalty was a Heisman Trophy finalist twice. So I know that. But he was real and he played in the conference. But if even Darren McFadden, that's silly. Okay, there's no Todd Gurley. There's no Trent Richardson. That guy who, on Saturdays at least, was playing against kids. And you know, no real chance of shutting him down. And you know what I'm saying there, don't you? You know what I'm saying. Nick Chubb was close. And I mean, like, really, really, really close. He's a better version, I would say, as far as, like, the sneaks up on you a little bit. Great bar bet forever and ever, amen, was Kevin Falk in the SEC. I think he was like the third all-time leading rusher in the SEC. And like maybe Darren McFadden passed him now and Nick Chubb I know did, whatever. But Nick Chubb's one of those. He was real close, but the injury and then also Sony Michel, it means he just wasn't the same as those other guys. And nobody, I don't think, like a Georgia fan, you love Nick Chubb, and you should. He may be the best running back in the NFL right now. He may be. He's like a responsible, squared away Zeke. That would be my opinion. But he had the injury, and he also had Sony Michel there the whole time. And he's not Darren McFadden. He's not Bo. He's not Herschel. I went back and looked, and it's close. But you know it's different. You know when you see different. And it likely has been 6 years since Derrick Henry and Leonard Fournette in 2015. Okay, now you see, close your eyes and look at Leonard Fournette. Lined up 7 yards deep, fullback, whatever. That's what I'm talking about. And you know, okay, now that looks different. It's that next level. It's been 2015 since the SEC had that kind of back. And I don't have any complaints this year. Like Roundtree at Missouri last year, I was like, oh my gosh, look at that kid. He's so outstanding. Alex Collins, do you remember him at Arkansas? One of my personal favorites. Love that kid. Alex Collins was a really good running back. I thought he should have had more NFL success. I don't know why he didn't. But he could catch the ball a little bit. Tough kid from South Florida, went to Arkansas and just ran into people for 3 or 4 years. There are good running backs all over the SEC this year. I've labeled Tank as the best. I don't know that he'll be the most productive. He could be, because, again, he's kind of old school. I'm out there by myself. But I think he's the best running back, the most talented in the conference. If it's not him, then, well, that's Zamir White. He's played more. He has, and he's really good. What about Isaiah Spiller? I love that kid. I do. Kevin Harrett, they're all tough. They're all solid. They're all really productive. They're all future NFL players, and not one of them strikes you like Leonard Fournette. Not one of them looks like Darren McFadden. Not one of them gives you that Derrick Henry sort of feel when he's coming around the edge. So, I just, like I said, really good, and I need you to capitalize it and say it that way. Really good. It's become good enough to be first team in the Southeastern Conference at a position where that was never the case. What up, Dan?
You were right about Kevin Faulk. He was second all-time until a guy named Darren McFadden came along. And then he was second all-time until the current number two all-time, to your point, Nick Chubb came along. Quick housekeeping note, because you'd mentioned about the possible fives through eights. Now, I'm going to throw last year out, because last year, complete anomaly, a college football season that I think we all hope we never see again. I'm going to take 2019. Of course, we knew who the Final Four was. Five through eight was Georgia, Oregon, Baylor, Wisconsin. To your point, Wisconsin, a three-loss team that would have been hosting a game. And then, what was it, 9 through 12, Florida, Penn State, Utah, and Auburn. Auburn with three losses as well. The ones who could have possibly been on the outside looking in for everybody to say, what about these guys? What about Memphis? What about Boise State? What about Appalachian State? And that question is still going to continue, because we even saw it if you wanted to throw in this year where you've got BYU at 16, but then people say, well, the guys at number 12, the ones who are getting in, Coastal Carolina, they had the one time, and they took care of business, and they did it. So good for them on that, or as you say, bully for them. You had Northwestern, North Carolina, Iowa also on the outside looking in. San Jose State, also another one, who was 7-0 this season. Yeah. And at the end of it, it just wasn't even close to being good enough. That's going to continue. That's not going to stop, because what we're already seeing, and I already saw some of the kudos on social media last night when the announcement was made, of people saying, hey, look, despite what you think of Kirby Smart on the field and everything he's done, he's got to be, no pun intended, smart enough to have noticed where the trend was going with the college football playoff and say, soon enough, we're going to need more than one really good non-conference game to even be considered. Because, Chuck, that's going to become the criteria for this at the end of this, is it's going to be, hey, you better really schedule up some good non-conference games. Well, what about the check games? They'll still be there if you want them. But I also, Chuck, I don't think they will either, because I think soon enough you're going to have the coaches at their spring meetings and at the AFCA meetings and everything of the such saying, are you really going to expect us to play all of this football? Take away one regular season game, and I think that's right for the kids.
Yeah, you've got a lot of concerns there as well, and that's the growing concern, and that'll be the conversation that comes certainly on the kids' end of it. The players' end of it is player safety and the amount of games and the condensed schedule, and what about the likelihood? And by the way, it would take a couple of upsets, but for a team to play 17 games even during one college football season.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.